Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Moise.
Happy Sabbath again. Amen. It is so good to be here, and I see we have some new faces that have joined us as well. And we're so glad that you are here. And God today is alive. He's alive. He's not in a grave. And he's able to do much more than we can imagine. I hope you remember that. God is alive, and he's able to do much more than we can imagine. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, here we have gathered today from many parts of the United States. But we have gathered here, Father, not to listen to what a man thinks about the world, but to see what Jesus says and what he's calling us to. I pray, Father, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit and that we will come out of this place not the same again, because we have had an encounter with Jesus of the Word. So, Father, may we be humble, and may we have an open heart as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's exhortation is Unmoved. It's actually a two-part series. Today, we begin the first part of it. I'll invite you to go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to use our Bibles. Those of you who are used to being here, you know, they use a lot of the Bible. So I'll encourage you to mark down, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the front pew. We're going to use it. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 9. To verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 to verse 14. The title is Unmoved. And they will deliver you to tribulations and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. The question we would like to answer today is how to live in a world that has grown cold. How to live in a world that has grown cold. Today, if there was one word that would summarize, so to speak, the experience of society and the faith, is that we have become more polarized than any time that we could remember in history. I remember reading the story of a marriage. A lady who was 73 years old, a retired Californian prison guard, who decided to divorce her husband of 22 years because he voted for a certain candidate. This is just one story. There are so many statistics of family members who will not want to talk to one another again because of what happened in the last couple years. It is even true in the faith. Today, we have members who are willing to leave the church because the church does not take certain stands that they feel convicted about. Now, I'm not even talking about Bible stands. I'm talking about personal choices. Some people are willing to transfer to another church because the pastor preaches a certain message, or this pastor preaches a certain message that line up with what they think should be done. Now, I'm not saying that you should be part of a church where lies are being preached. No, no, no. But there's a difference between the Word of God and what we think as people. There's a difference between what people tell us to think about and it thus saith the Lord. I want to be very clear today. You and I are part of God's church because we believe in the Bible. Amen? We are not part of God's church because we are popular or we're preaching a popular message. We're part of God's church because we believe in the Word of God. There's going to be a lot of noise in the world today. I'm even going to be frank. Some people have come to me and says, Pastor, should I be vaccinated? You know what my answer is? I'm not your medical doctor. Or, Pastor, what should I do about this and the property I should buy because we're living at the end of time? You know what my counsel is? Read the spirit of prophecy and the Bible and make your decision. We are living in an age where everybody thinks they're a professional. And I'm being honest, as ministers, sometimes we think we know a lot. And we're telling you things to do. But be very careful. Make sure your faith is based on the Word of God. If you're asking me a personal question, or if you're relying upon somebody else to tell you something that is an opinion, be very careful. Make sure that whatever you do is based again on what? The Bible. Now, I'm not a medical professional, and the advice I will give you might not be the best. I would rather trust Joe with advice, or Rube, or somebody. Or when it comes to property or different things, I would trust somebody who knows those things. But my friends, I'm being very clear with you. There are people who are going to say this is the truth, but it's not the truth. The truth is in the Word of God. Ellen G. White tells us, at the end of time, people are going to become like the people of Athens. They're one going to talk about the latest thing and what is the latest development. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, what did he say? I am determined to know nothing among you except what? Christ Jesus and him what? Crucified. Now, I'm not telling you, my friends, that those topics are not important. And some of those things that we're going to face are going to come and they might even challenge our conscience. And when those decisions come into play, you need to go to God to give you the wisdom based on the Word of God. We're living in a place and a time where there's also coercion. We're also living in a time where society is telling you how you ought to live your life. We're also living in a time where there is a lot of pressures to follow one way or to follow another way. But my brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get caught up in the ditches. Focus on staying on the wall. We have a mission as Seventh-day Adventists, and maybe you're not an Adventist and you're here today. But Jesus has a mission for you. And that mission is to go talk to a dying world that there is a Savior. We can let nothing distract us from that mission to preach the three angels' message. You know what that message is? It is that Jesus is coming again. And he's going to meet us. And we're going to have to give him an answer. Jesus is not going to ask us what we think about certain things. He's going to ask us, were you faithful? It's my personal prayer. And my prayer for you as well, that we will say, yes, Lord, I did everything I could to reflect you. Disunity and polarization is going to become sharper and sharper. As individuals, you're going to experience it yourselves too, and some of you are experiencing maybe in your workplaces or in your families or wherever you might be, and there might be difference of ideas. This series is to give us a biblical framework how to operate in a world that has grown cold. As a matter of fact, this is not new to the Christian faith to have a church that is polarized. Go with me to the book of Corinthians. I'm going to highlight here about 10 problems that they had, and their problems were very serious. 10 problems, just in the book of Corinthians. I'm going to summarize it for us. Problem number one that they faced in the book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church, was that some Christians were divided over church teachers. They had come into the faith. I'm going to just summarize 10 problems they faced. Some had come to the faith and they brought with them the way how the world treats other people. Some were coming from a Roman background, and in their society, they were divided over ethnicity, Jews versus Gentiles. They had taken a lot of pride on those new converts about their social rank. Some were wise, they considered, and some were foolish people. They also considered some people to be powerful people, and some people were weak people. And then some were of noble birth, and some were to be despised. And they brought that idea into the Corinthian church. So they treated their Jew counterparts as lesser than them because they were Romans. And then they were treating other people based on their birth or their status. Now, does that bring problems in the church? Do you think that will bring some problems? Yeah. In a lot of countries, that brings a lot of problem castes. They had that problem number one. Problem number two, in the Corinthian church, they started to tolerate incest. In other words, some people said, it's okay, whatever your choice is, it's okay to do whatever you want because that's your nature. You cannot control it. That's the way you are. So we accept it. Do you think that creates problems? Yes, against the word of God. Problem number three. I wish I had more time, but I'm just trying to summarize. You could read the whole two books, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Problem number three is that some members felt that it was their right to sue one another. So when they would have a problem, let's say Brother Joe did something, one of the members would say, Brother Joe did that, I'm going to sue him for you. And they were at free will to sue one another. Do you think that can cause problems in the church? Yes. Now, I'm not saying don't use the legal system, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have a problem, what's the first thing you should do? Go to the Lord and go to your brother or to your sister. If that cannot be solved, what should you do? Invite an authority that you both respect to help with the situation. Now, if the situation is not being resolved, then bring in the church. If that is not resolved, then, do whatever course you need to take to protect yourself. But the people in the Corinthian church did not think that was a good course. They just wanted to sue one another. And that created a bad testimony in the people of Corinth. Because they say, these Christians, they don't love one another. Problem number four. Some of the Corinthian Christians also started to excuse sexual immorality. Because they said sexual immorality occurs in the body, not in the spirit. So they were having situations where people were doing all sorts of immoral stuff. And they said, that's okay because that's your body. It is not your heart or your spirit. Do you think that can cause problems? Yes. Problem number five. Some Corinthian Christians were misguided about marriage and being single. They had given some bad advice about being single and being married. Problem number six. Some Corinthian Christians as well were eating foods offered to idols in a way that did not build up their neighbors. But they were doing it kind of in their faces. You know, for those people in Corinth, that food that they were eating was given to idols. But these Corinthians, Christians, decided, well, we're going to rub it in your face and we're going to eat this food in front of you because we're free. And that caused a lot of problems. Problem number seven, they struggled with dress reform. They still wanted to dress the way they dressed in that society, not the way as children of Jesus. And that caused a lot of problem. Problem number eight. Some of the more affluent Corinthian Christians were abusing the Lord's Supper and using some of the things for the Lord's Supper to abuse the poor. They were trying to take things for themselves, and as a result, the poor were not receiving the blessing. Problem number nine is that some of the Corinthian Christians were prioritizing less valuable spiritual gifts, and they were saying some gifts are better than others, so you're more special than other people because you have this gift. Right? We do that sometimes. We say, this person, you know, they're really good, so we're going to treat them better than this person that can do nothing. And that can cause division. Problem number 10. You could tell there were a lot of challenges. Problem number 10, some of the Corinthian Christians started teaching that Jesus, that God, will not be resurrected. He did not resurrect in the body. He resurrected in the spirit. Now, the reason why I give you all of these 10 things is to show you from the Word of God that division in the church is not something new. But you know what was Paul's advice? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, hopefully you understand what Paul is dealing with. And there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he gives them the most important advice. What does he tell them? He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, except what, my friends? Jesus Christ and what? And Him crucified." Whenever we're living in a cold world, we must have our priorities straight. Going through war multiple times when you're in the heat of battle, you must understand why you're there and what is your purpose. If you lose your focus on why you are a Christian, and you start fighting with the people around you, you will be lost. Hopefully, I'm preaching a stretch message today. You and I, as Bible believers, we should be about the Lord, that He has died and is risen again, and He's coming to get you and I, and we have to be ready. We cannot become Facebook warriors. We cannot become Twitter champions or office slayer. You know, in those meeting rooms when they're talking about, "So what do you think, brother so-and-so?" And then you're ready to slay everybody with the truth that you have. Before you are ready to take down your brother or your sister, remember that is somebody that Christ died for. You know, there's an experiment about red and black ants. How many of you have ever seen red ants? How many of you have ever seen black ants? All right, they're in our home sometimes, and those critters. But anyways, so if you put those two ants together, in a jar. Guess what? They live peacefully together. Red and black ants, they are perfect harmony. They're fine. They're doing all those different things. But guess what happens when somebody picks up the jar and starts to shake the jar? Whenever that person picks up the jar and shakes the jar, they start to kill one another. Before the person shook the jar, they were at peace. But when the jar started to be shaken, they started to kill one another. The reason why I tell you this, my friend, is because you and I are living in a great controversy, and the devil is shaking the jar. And he's shaking it, and he's shaking it, and he's shaking it even harder. And what happens in our society today and in our Christian faith is that we have started to see the enemy as you, rather than realizing there's somebody who shook the jar. You're not the enemy. You are my brother and sister in Christ, but the devil is working. That is why in Ephesians 6, verse 12, I wish I had more time, it says, we fight not against what do we fight against as Christians? Principalities and the forces of darkness. Remember that as an Adventist, as a Bible-believing Christian, when you are seeing all of these things going on, somebody is shaking the jar. Don't kill your neighbor. Don't destroy them. They are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. When Jesus looks at you and I, he doesn't hate you. Amen? But he hates the sin. Even God, when he looks at you and I, he sees there's a difference between you and your behavior. I'm not telling you and I that we are not there to correct error. As a matter of fact, we should be very clear. We should call sin by its right name. We should not try to play around. Sin is sin. When there's something wrong, you and I better engage it and say that's wrong. But remember, we should not try to destroy the person. But we should let them know the behavior you're having is not right. But I love you. And whatever you say against me, I'm not going to take it personally. I'm going to give it up to the Lord. Because somebody is doing what, my friends? Somebody is shaking the jar. And he's shaking it. And he's shaking it. And he's shaking it. Unity is more important. I'm going to give you guys four reasons from the Word of God why you and I today, we have to be united like never before. Some people say, well, Pastor, I don't know if unity is ever possible in this age. I don't even know if unity is necessary in the church. But the Bible tells us that unity is possible, amen? And that unity will happen. Now, I got to be very clear about what this unity is, because you could be united in doing bad things. This is unity in the truth. You and I have to be united in God's truth. Amen? We don't want any type of unity with the world in terms of whatever it is if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Four reasons why unity is possible. Go with me to John chapter 17, verse 17 to 21. John chapter 17, verse 17 to 21. Are you still with me, my friends? John chapter 17, verse 17 to 21. Reason number one why unity is possible is because God demands it and He promised it. Go with me to verse 17, John chapter 17, verse 17. And there it says this, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is what, my friends? Is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be two." What does the Bible say? That they all may be one. "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that what? That you sent me." Is unity possible? Yes, it is. Unity in truth. God demands it, and God promised it. Number two, why is unity important? John chapter 13, verse 35. In John chapter 13, verse 35, the Bible tells us there something very important. John chapter 13 and verse 35. And there it says this, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you do what? If you love one another." I got to be very clear. Some people might say, well, is there room in God's church then for difference of opinions? Oh, yes, there is. There is room in God's church for you to have a different opinion from me. But there is no room in God's church for error. It must all be based on thus saith the Lord. I can have my opinion. You can have your opinion. Those of you who are married, you know, if you want to have a happy life, you can't resolve every argument. You just can't make the other person become just like you. But you got to say, that's your opinion, that's my choice, but we still love one another. Amen? And if the Bible tells us that we should do something else, then we are going to follow the Bible, not what I think. As a matter of fact, difference of opinion in a leadership team is very healthy. You want to have people that have maybe a different view and that feel safe enough to tell you that, you know, this is a different perspective. Because we don't know it all. But the truth of the Word of God needs to be the supreme guide. And when we have that together, we can love one another because we love God more than we love our own ideas. You know the reason why the world is polarized today? Is because we have made an idol out of our opinions. We have said, this is what I believe and I know it's true. But Jesus says, no. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but where does it lead you? It leads you to your death. We can only trust God and Him alone. Amen? And when we do that, the Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 35, that people will know that we have been with God by the way we love one another. Is that possible here in Kalamazoo? It is. It is. You and I are preparing for an evangelistic series. You know, the real success of preaching an evangelistic series is not how well the pastor puts everything together. It is not even how much money we've spent. What really makes the difference is when people come in here and they see how we love one another. That what we preach, we truly believe. And that they matter to us. If you think about your own Christian experience, the people that really made you choose the Lord were people that really believed what they preached. And that makes the difference. Reason number three, why unity is possible. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, go there with me. There's a blessing for those who seek unity, and there's a curse for those who only seek division. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, this is what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what, my friends? Sons of God." Do you today want to be a peacemaker? A peacemaker, by the way, is not an enabler. You never create peace by enabling people. You might prolong some of the peace, but ultimately it's going to come after you. A peacemaker is somebody who always wants to treat people right. You might not be happy with how things are going, but you're always going to make your best to treat people right, to show them Jesus in every phase of your interaction with them. My friends, I can tell you, we can change the world if we treated people right. We can change Kalamazoo and teach them how do Adventists treat people if we treat them right. There's also a curse for those who want to bring division. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. It says it this way. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned." Do what? Avoid them. When a person likes, and you've met those people, they like to create an argument, whatever they are. You know, and we could tolerate it for a while when the argument was about the carpet. Remember those times we used to talk about the carpet? One of the saddest things was one day there was a matriarch of a church that I pastored, and on her deathbed, this was her confession. She says, "Pastor, I am so disappointed that they have chosen to go with a green carpet." Literally, and she passed away. Well, today, we have different types of divisions. But in all those divisions that we have, let us not be dividers, but unifiers. Let us not try to create contention for the sake of contention. And when you meet somebody like that, the Bible tells you what to do. Run and avoid them. There's a saying I told you guys, stay on the wall, don't come down and fight with the pigs. Because the pigs will love it. You will stink and they will love it. Don't engage with those things. Stay on the wall, amen? Stay on the wall. The last thing why unity is important. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 to verse 5. This is our last verse. Next Sabbath, we're going to talk about how to achieve this unity practically from the Word of God. And we'll do that next Sabbath by God's grace. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 to verse 5. And there, the Word of God says it this way. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 to verse 5. It says, "These are the ones who were not defiled with the woman." That is, by the way, the immoral church. "For they are virgins," meaning they are pure. "These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found what, my friends? No deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God." Reason number 4 why unity is important is because God will have a united church at the end of time. The question is whether we're going to be part of that church or not. But notice that God's children at the end of time, they will have a mouth in which is found where? No deceit. All that they seek to speak is truth. You and I today, my friends, as we're closing our time here, we need to be these peacemakers. The world is hurting enough that we have to be the repairers of the breach. As a church family, we have a choice. We could either tear one another apart, or we can build one another apart. Remember, there is one who's shaking the jar, and he's shaking it, and he's shaking it, and he's shaking it. Are you going to be shaken out? Or are you going to be shaken in? I pray that at the end of today, that you will invite Jesus in your heart and treat people the way Jesus would like them to be treated. If you have said some things that are not kind, be humble and ask for forgiveness. If you have had an attitude towards somebody that really you hated them, you can be honest, you don't have to proclaim it. Then ask the Lord to remove that hate and to start turning that hate to praying for them. I want to be honest with you. There are some things that have happened in the recent days that have almost made me lose my Christian peace. Very disappointing things, sad things. But you got to remember, God wants to use you to be a blessing, not be a curse. You have a choice, and God will help you in that choice. If it is your desire today to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a healer, not a destroyer. If that is your decision, I'll invite you to stand with me. And as you stand with me, we are making a commitment. Whatever comes our way in this world, that we're going to stay on the wall and we're going to show Jesus all the way to the end. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is not easy to live in the world today. But it becomes easier when we look to Jesus. And when we trust ourselves to you and we ask, Lord, that you will keep us away from the evil one. And as he's shaking this world, may we not kill one another through our words. But may we be a source of blessing. Now, we cannot make everybody happy. And you don't call us, Father, to blend into the world. You actually call us to be the salt of the earth. But may we always treat one another the way Jesus would treat them. And may they see Christ in us, that they too might be able to see you when you come again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the help of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.